open public input. I'm going to call you up three at a time, and I got a nice stack here. And those of you that haven't done this before, I expect most, if not all of you have. It's a 3 minute, and Tammy's buzzer goes off. Please finish your immediate sentence, and we'll give some other people a chance to come up as well. So the first group is Darren McKenna, Dave Hedrick, and Steve Dell. No, go ahead and have a seat up there, and then two of you can share a mic. Okay, first one I have is, I read off, is Darren McKenna, if I got that right. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
I'd just like to give a little input to the, I guess we're talking about the game problem up our way. I farm up at Addy area, north of Spokane. You guys familiar with it? Over the past few years, I cut a lot of hay. I farm a lot of hay ground. I have pretty good concentration of deer, but I've seen the population go down pretty regular, from probably 15 fawns a year. I jump, or you know, you run them through the swather a lot of times because you can't get stopped in time. To last year, it was down to three, probably on 250 acres of hay that I cut. Three cuttings, I seen three fawns, and it was pretty late in the year, in June, that we cut. So normally, a lot of the fawns are had by that time and whatnot. And also, you know, I'd like to make mention that I know you had a corridor project for 395, but you can drive 395. I worked for the county for a lot of years, and they're not picking up the numbers of road kills. You know, it's pretty obvious. You guys are probably aware of that too, but there's the road kills have went to literally nothing by my place, and everywhere else where you drive around, it's something I've noticed. So there's some statistics there that you could research to see the numbers that way. And then on my grain ground too in the spring, even a couple years ago, I had 80 head plus down there on the grain. This spring before the snow came, I had about 35 down there, you know, compared to the 70s where we'd have up to 300 head down there. You know, the numbers over the years have consistently went down, but with the cougars and wolf sightings and predator sightings and stuff like that, I attribute that a lot to the numbers going down the way they are. I hunt a lot, and I mostly see tracks of them. Rarely do I see the animals, but a lot of tracks. You know, the sign is there. So I guess that's about all the input I really had for you, if it'd be helpful.
If you were going to quantify the drop-off in, I assume you're talking whitetail primarily, but the drop-off in abundance is percentage-wise, what would your best guess be?
You know, my best guess would be, especially, you know, taking a year around with the hunting season and everything else, consistently when you had the four-pointer better, I could go out and I could see up to 17 bucks in my fields in the areas, in lying areas. Last year, you'd have to really hunt to see a shootable buck and stuff. So I would say, you know, conservatively, I'd say 30%, conservatively, you know, in the numbers. But I'd hate to say, realistically, it'd be more than that, but conservatively, I would give you a number of that.
Thank you. Steve Dell.
Yeah, I'm kind of here basically to support the idea of maybe reinstalling the four-point minimum for probably all the same reasons you've been listening to for the last day and now today. And it's quite obvious with the game department's information how important that was, and the positive outlook it had on the whitetail deer by the boost in the populations and also the success of the sportsmen. The facts are all there. You guys have seen it. Most everybody in this room has seen it. The fact that it was taken away, you know, I know we're trying new things and whatnot, but it was obvious that was a clear benefit not only to the game department because the sales of tags boost, but also to the sportsmen. The second part is that I'm kind of curious why the game department has not taken control of our predation problem. Our predators are clearly out of control and they're not being managed one bit. I can't even give you an example where they are managing it. Because of that, our populations, our ungulate populations, are down so low. Right now, they can't recover, even if they had mild winters and no disease. And even with slowing down the hunting, like we're talking of doing with the four-point restriction and the doe, removing the doe permits, they're still not going to recover in the way they should because the predation problem is too high. And the numbers are low enough that they can't recover that. The only way to truly make a positive difference is to start controlling our predators. And I'm kind of curious, too, the game department is well known here in Washington for being pro or profiting money off the sportsmen and the people and not so much the managing. The way I look at it, these predators are such an easy way for the game department to profit and make money by putting permits out maybe for wolves, a permit system that's regulated, and also opening up to cougar hunting. It's all a moneymaker for the game department, and quite honestly, that's management that they're not doing. It's a win-win for not only the public, but also for the game department to install things like that. And I guess that's pretty much my point I wanted to get across.
Okay. Just stay there until this gentleman's finished, and then if any of the commissioners have questions, we can address those. Dave Hedrick. Good morning.
This plan will continue to adapt. It is a living document. This is a strong plan that will evolve into a stronger plan. Does that ring a bell with anybody here? That was Commissioner Smith's testimony shortly before he took his vote on adopting the Wolf Plan, December 3rd, 2011.
Oh, okay. All
right.
Thank you.
Is there anybody here that has listened to the audio of that meeting? Anybody? Every commissioner expressed the need for adaptive management. One thing no commissioner said was as wolf recovery continues, we should stick our finger in the air, see which way the political winds are blowing, and act or don't act accordingly. If that was the case, it could have been the shortest wolf plan in history. No need for public input, no need for science, just hire some pollsters. It's long past time for this agency and this commission to start living up to the commitments made to Northeast Washington at the beginning of this process. Stop kicking the can down the road and hiding behind an advisory group. Stop waiting for the legislature to do your job. Stop isolating the people in Northeast from the process. The 18-pack and one-year delisting threshold is a gimmick, literally passed minutes before the final vote. It'll be overturned by CBD as fast as they can get the paperwork to the courthouse. Starting a statewide delisting plan at this point is a highway to nowhere. And it's just a distraction from the 800-pound gorilla living in Northeast Washington. How this process can even start when the people in the western two areas have no idea how a fully recovered wolf population is going to affect their community is ridiculous. There's no way they can comment on that. I mean, if you look at the impacts that Northeast Washington had that nobody thought would happen, all the commitments, you know, that have been made to this point, you know, the one thing is, I guess, I'm curious from the commission, you know, at what point, what is your threshold for action? Do people actually have to go broke? I guess, you know, that's the end of it.
Okay. Thank you much. Any questions of any of these folks there? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your comments. Next three, Dusty Fredrickson, Mike Pickering, and Dan Brooks. Mr. Fredrickson.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. I don't have a whole lot to add to, I'm sure, to what a lot of you have heard already regarding the impacts of predators, but from a practical one person's point of view, from someone who was born and basically raised in the Kettle Falls area, it's not, I mean, it's clear that there's been a steady increase in removal of hound hunting for predators since I was a kid. Steady increase in the presence of predators, their sign in the woods, and predator to people contact. Personally, I know two or three individuals who have been attacked by cougars. To go along right side of that is the steady decline in wildlife, deer, elk, moose populations. Nowadays, you go hunting, you see more predator sign than you do deer sign in some places, or elk sign. To the point where every year, over the past two or three years, I'm taking more of my hunting out of state and spending my money elsewhere, because there's absolutely no point in buying a deer tag for the areas to hunt in that I grew up in. And I'm not the only one. It's a big problem. One that we feel like, because a lot of the decisions, looking around the committee, a lot of folks are from the west side. I don't know that how often you guys hold these things in this area, but a large majority of us feel misrepresented in the decision-making process regarding policies that influence our ability to carry on the way that our grandfathers did, our fathers did, and pass down the heritage of hunting and fishing and being in the outdoors, because right now there's just, unless you want to go look at birds, there's not a whole lot to do out there with regard to the hunting. That's basically the points I wanted to draw this morning. Thanks again for having us.
Thank you. Mike Pickering.
Good morning. I've been a resident in Stevens County for about 40 years. Between me and my family and friends, we're avid outdoorsmen, hunters, very passionate about wildlife and the area that we live in. I own property in Unit 117 and 121 at the base of the mountains there that are huge wintering grounds. And mainly I'm here to just, you know, voice my opinion and, you know, facts of what I've encountered and seen myself being spending hours and hours out in the woods, whether it's hunting, hiking, viewing, camping. I've seen significant drops in our wildlife from the deer, the moose, the elk, and huge numbers in our predators. I'm very familiar with our wildlife. I spend, like I said, hundreds of hours a year in the woods. I absolutely love Stevens County, and it's really disappointing and heartbreaking to me. I mean, I'm the hunter. I'm not a killer. I don't, you know, there's a big difference. I'm not bloodthirsty. I'm very passionate about these animals, and it's just hurtful that I can't even enjoy the wildlife out my windows or going for a drive. The numbers are so down. I've seen, you know, huge numbers in the cougars 3 years ago. It's documented. I had it sealed. I truly believe I shot a cougar 10 feet away from me, sitting, waiting till daylight to elk hunt. And I happened to stand up, and it was squatted down. The only reason I seen it because its tail was moving. I shot it 10 feet away. I mean, it was on the attack. I've had, you know, lots of encounters, you know, seeing them. Our moose numbers have been dramatically down. Last year, I had two friends that had, were drawn for the spring bear hunt. We hunted from Deer Lake to 49, six weekends. We seen 27 bears. Granted, a lot of them were cubs and maybe seen a few, you know, twice, three times. We seen four moose. On an average, 6-7 years ago, I would have seen 5 to 12 moose a day. I have property on Benson Lake. Used to, 6-7 years ago, every day I'd have moose in that lake. Every day. I'm lucky if I see a moose a year. It's that bad. I mean, I'm an avid shed hunter. I haven't hunted sheds in 2 years. There's nothing out there to go hunt. Like I said, my wintering grounds, I used to have, you know, 100 to 150 deer, 15 male deer. I have no male deer coming in. And I have, right now, I started off this year at my residence now. That's at the base of Nelson. I started off with 17 deer, and I have 7 now. And usually it would be, I mean, 10 years ago, easily 100. So we have a major, major predator problem, and we all know that.
Thank you for your comments. Don Brooks?
Yes. I'm basically on the same page they are. I've read, whether it's exact or not, the cougar will eat a deer and a half a week. That would be 78 deer a year. If 40 of them were does, and say 30 of them had fawns, you're looking at over 100 deer a year per cougar. I've watched the coyotes and bears from my house years past when the fawns were out. It just seems like we're protecting predators and not doing anything for the deer herds and the elk. I talked to some of the locals, and they said deer is 23% hunter success last year, elk 7%. And you guys are going to raise the rates 15%. So that puts it up $200 if you're going to fish and hunt. You know, I always buy the deer, bear, cougar. This year, for $1,120, I'm going back to Montana. Last year in southeast Montana, the locals could shoot 7 deer. They have chronic wasting disease. That might be part of it, but we've seen elk every day. I've seen a cougar, watched it for 3 or 4 minutes in my scope at under 100 yards. Probably should have shot it, didn't. Here I would have. I'd had a tag there. I didn't. But it just seems like we're working really, really hard to save the deer, elk, or I mean save the wolves, the cats, the bears. And we're not doing nothing to help our other animals. It's getting to the point where, why should I spend $200 here to shoot something, you know, that's, I mean, you're just shooting something to get some venison in the freezer. When we had the 4-point minimum, I shot some, not trophy bucks, but decent bucks. And you had a chance to see, I mean, I seen, we had a farm up Wright's Valley, and I'd see 8-10 bucks up in the fields every evening. And maybe you'd see one a season that was worth shooting, but it just seems like we need to help the, if you're not going to do something with the predators, you need to at least feed the deer or something, do something to help. We had a cougar killed up behind our house. My nephew lives a quarter section away. Last year, killed some neighbor's goats. Last week, week before last, they caught a cougar and tagged it up there. I have a niece that has 2 small children, 3 and 6, I think. It just seems like we need to address the problem of predators taking over. Wolves, I think, was the stupidest thing that they ever could have introduced. You all know we got a problem. Joel Kretz has tried to introduce them on the coast. That gets shot down pretty fast. You know, they don't want them there. They tell us to keep them. How many of you guys have seen a wolf? I haven't. And I worked in the woods all my life. Seen several cougars, but what's the point of having them when they cost our ranchers and our wildlife? And And eventually, the fish and wildlife's going to be, they're going to be extinct because there's going to be nothing for them to manage. So, well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming in. The next three, John Moore, Luke Generette, or something close to that, Aaron Burkhart. Mr. Moore.
Thank you for having this meeting where we can get to it. The game department admits that there's 13 cougars in the Cottonwood area that's collared. How many more is there? No way of knowing. There's too damn many. Same thing, University of Washington says we have at least 2 to 3 times the amount of wolves that the game department says. Again, who's right? The region biologist for our area says we're already killing too many cougars, and I think we can kill 6 to 8 a year, and you can hear that many reports in 2 weeks. I think we've already lost our deer herd, and I hopefully, with some new regulations, we can get it back. But I doubt very much if we'll get it back for myself. I'm too damned old to see it. I don't think that the game department, and I don't want to say they're lying, but I don't think you people are getting the truth from some of them about the conditions that are in the field. And it's not just our area. The Loomis area is way down. The Wenatchee area. I know lots of people down there that deer hunting is terrible. So it's all over. It's not just our area, but right now that's what I'm fighting for.
Thank you, sir. Luke?
My name's Luke Generette. I'm here representing my family farm, the Rafter 7 Ranch. We own just south of 5,000 acres in units 117 and 121. We manage for timber, and we manage for wildlife to keep the hunting traditions going in the families. I have multiple friends and family, a lot of them are here right now, that hunt with me. This morning, I'm missing my kids' wrestling meet. And when I told my 12-year-old, good luck today, you know what he told me? What are you doing? So I got to go talk about predators. They think that there's not too many in Washington. And he looked right at me and said, don't they go in the woods? That's all we see for tracks. And the thing I'm asking you is I brought in the Colville Tribe game guys. They've gone all through our property. They've said, you need to wipe out about 2/3 of the cougars that are hanging out in here. This is ridiculous. We've got wolves that come in. We can't shoot those. So you got to get rid of the bears, the cougars, and the coyotes. There's a reason the tribes have much better hunting and much better wildlife than the people in the state of Washington. I ask you to look at what they do. I ask you to talk to them and believe them, because they'll tell you the truth, unlike the guys that work for the state of Washington. I don't know what the deal is, but you bring in the tribe, they got no problem telling you what's going on. They got no problem telling you that the wolves are destroying their moose population. We've got some of the best moose hunting property in the state. Every year we'd have 10, 12, 48 plus inch bulls on our 3,000 acres of Springdale hunters. You play hell to find one right now. We go out hunting, you don't even see a moose anymore, let alone hardly any whitetail. For the first time in 30 years, I didn't shoot a deer. My boys did. They got pretty decent bucks, but we manage for it. And the thing I'll ask you is if you're not going to help, I'm not asking you to go kill the predators. I'm asking you to get the hell out of the way. Just get out of our way. I mean, you're killing us. You're making it so the next generation isn't even going to have anything to hunt. I mean, if you don't want to do something about it, just leave us alone. I mean, people can tell you, I'm going to shoot every wolf I see, I'm going to shoot every cougar I see. Well, that's not realistic, because you don't hardly ever see them. The game department wants to put a collar on a cougar, they go hire somebody with dogs, they pay a bunch of money, they put them in a tree, they tranquilize them. And then you're asking us to control the predators by seeing them walking around. It's not all right. And the wolves of in the words of a 12-year-old, don't they go in the woods? Don't you go in the woods?
Thank you, Luke. Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday, you seen me here, and we're talking about mule deer. And why would I stick around for a second day? I'm passionate about saving the mule deer herd. And yesterday, I tell you, I was a little bent about the science that your, I believe it was Brock, gave you. You guys need an accurate count. He said between 10,000 and 15,000. Is it 10? Is it 15? Our harvest in 2013, we do backcountry hunts. So we're up and away from the public. Been doing that since the 40s. In 2013, we had 76% success. 2014, 80% success. 2015, 90% success. Every kid that could pack a rifle in 2015 got a deer. 3-point or better. 2016, 7%. 2017, 11%. 2018, 6%. So, if the science from WDFW is 15,000 deer, factor in the buck to doe ratio that they counted, how come we didn't harvest those bucks? They're not there. We did our own counts, we flew, and rather than 10 to 15,000, we believe, based on our counts, that there's less than 4,000. So, his data said that they harvested 370 some does, which is 10%. I don't raise cattle or horses and shoot off my best cows and my best brood mares. He also said that the fawn count was low and it was based because of fire. He didn't factor in the archery hunting, which eliminates a lot of fawns. He didn't factor in the highway, and he didn't factor in the predators. A lot of fawns get killed mostly from predators. So, begging you guys, do away with, and we're still issuing second deer tags. Nobody in this state with the current deer population needs to shoot two deer. We have an influx of whitetail coming in. 40 years ago, we never seen a whitetail. And whitetail bounced back quicker than mule deer. In 1968, it was 56 below, 90% of the deer herd died, winter kill. They bounced back. But we've got to allow, do away with the permits. And the archery, move it to whitetail. You can issue those permits. Whitetail deer get along with people better than people get along with people. Thanks again for allowing me a second day.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Holzmiller.
I guess it's a comment. I got a chance to talk with Aaron here a couple weeks ago on the phone, had a really good visit with him. And him and I are both kind of in the same boat. We're not in Northeast. He's in this central part of the state. I'm in Southeast. And yesterday they were showing the elk populations in our part of the world. They were plummeting down. We had a really bad die-off with blue tongue here a few years ago. Our deer herds are starting to come back. We're just starting to get the wolves in our area. But we've had mountain lions, but they've been dealt with to a point. And my heart breaks for you guys in Northeast. Just totally breaks for my heart, because here we're having problems where we don't have the wolves behind damn near every other tree. and we can't hardly keep deer and elk going. I can't even imagine how they ever expect to have any hunting season to the Northeast again unless something is dealt with on this thing. So I guess as much as anything, guys, I ranch, I log. That's my world. And I love to hunt. And so my heart breaks for you. And I'm thankful that you guys are taking the time out of your days and schedules to come and make this testimony, because we got to do something. And here you guys are doing that and just begging these guys. It'd be one thing if you were, come on, open up the season so we can kill deer. You're begging this department that sells deer and elk tags to try and keep it so you can stay in business. It just drives me nuts. So there again, where we don't have the wolves and we're still iffy on our deer and game herds, I can't even imagine what you guys are facing. And there again, thanks to each and every one of you for taking the time to come, because we've got to dig in. Predator management isn't seeing how damn many predators we can raise, and that's what we've been in that mode. We've got to manage this deal as a whole. And there again, the more predators we have, the more pressure is going to put on our domestic livestock, and not just cattle, but the lady talking about coming into her house and killing the miniature donkey and the goats and all this crap. So thank each and every one of you for coming. It's muchly appreciated.
Go ahead, make a quick one.
Yesterday I heard a young gentleman talking about how you hook kids and to not do away with the permits for the kids. In 2015, I said, everybody got one. That's how you hook kids. You have a healthy herd and build your numbers up and teach them that you have to manage wildlife. And that's just a quick point.
Good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you all coming. Next three would be Al March, Frank Palmer, and Joseph McEwen. I hope I got that right. We're missing the third. Joseph, looks like McEwen from Colville. Hold on, I'll have my gun.
Yeah, May Cumber.
Sorry.
Close enough, Larry.
Your handwriting's deteriorating like mine. Al, take it away, please.
Okay, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak again today. The Northeast Washington Wildlife Group, through Senator Shelley Short, filed Senate Bill 5525 to require, one, the department to continue deer transect counts in District 1, two, to make compliant data, that's hunter harvest reports, available online to the public, and three, require the department to recalculate noncompliant hunter harvest with the same methodology used in 2014 for the years 2016 through 2018. The transect count started in 2003 and are now 15-mile routes driven in August and September to count deer. This is done to determine buck doe and fawn doe ratios and deer density per mile. The information is used in the season setting process. The department stopped these counts in 2018 because the numbers were at or near record lows and they did not meet the deer density objective of 9 to 11 per mile. Six of the last 7 years, the deer transect counts have averaged 43% below the objective of 9. 25% below is considered an at-risk population in the 2015 to 21 game management plan. That requires management action. This has been ignored for several years. The data, along with the harvest reports, is the best data the department has to show trends in our deer populations. The answer is not to change the way the data is collected. The answer is to manage deer in a way to meet the objectives of the game management plan. Now, on the compliant, non-compliant harvest data, the request for compliant data, that's hunters reporting harvest before January 31st, is needed to show the true harvest before the non-compliant hunters' numbers are extrapolated by using a very complicated formula to come up with a guesstimated harvest total. By going over department numbers in 2015, I realized the calculations didn't add up the same way as previous years. By changing the methodology, the increase was about 700 deer in District 1 and statewide about 3,000. This was hidden to make the deer numbers appear much better than they actually were. It also improved the success rate. This was also done with elk across the state. For over a year, I could not get anyone in the department to admit to the change. I finally found someone in the Wildlife Sciences Division to confirm it. Up until 2015, the non-compliant data was available online. Now it requires a public disclosure request to get it. We are waiting for this right now to show what should be a record low harvest in 2018. The compliant data needs to be available online for all to see by January 31st. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank?
Yesterday there was a talk of a wolf team, I believe it was. And one thing I never would like to add to that a little bit is my neighbor, big Great Pyrenees dog, got chewed up by a wolf. This was 2 years ago, and the dog went to the Chihuahua Vet Clinic, and the veterinary diagnosed it as a wolf or wolves. I just wanted to make that clear. That is on record, so I'm not just dreaming this up. And the game department is doing a study. I believe it's on cougars. I know this because they stop by and I give them permission to recall her, a female cougar with two kittens. They couldn't get a collar on the kittens, too small, I guess, but recaller, I don't know if I said that, but the collar was, with batteries were getting low or something. And the numbers that I know the number that supposedly how many callers are out there now, but I'm not going to say that. I hope that when this study is done that you guys get them numbers and also the boot hunters' numbers, how many cougars they've taken, and also the depredation numbers. I've heard some depredation numbers are unreal as far as I'm concerned, so let's see what else I had here. I think it was Steve Dell said the same thing I was thinking is, why not if he was to get hound hunting back, you could be selling tags, and everybody would be happy, live happily ever after. That's unreal, but I'm just saying that you could be getting some revenue from the tags and get these cougars under control.
Just sit there. I need to get up.
Thank you, Frank. Joseph?
Hi. I just wanted to share. I work in the mountains from Medaling Falls to Curlew, Washington. So 5 days a week, I'm driving around the mountains. It's obvious the deer numbers are low. We have a cougar problem. I've hunted all over the country, and it's very rare to walk around and see a cougar while you're hunting. And I've seen multiple. I've harvested one. I've been deer hunting and had two cougars try to take my deer. It's definitely an issue. In 1 year, I've seen seven driving around the Northeast, just in a vehicle. So we definitely have a problem. I have property along the Colville River. The four-point rule will definitely help. It was good back then. We're down about 50% on deer numbers. Bear, you could help us by maybe starting the season in August. A lot of hunters don't have time to hunt when September comes because we're hunting other things. If you open it up in August, that might help us bring some numbers down. Spring bear, for sure, it probably should not be permitted, or at least raise the permits. There's way too many bears out there. And that's about all I had.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions? Okay, hearing none. Next three. Dee Dee, you're back. Dee Dee Isaacs, Shirley Gilbertson, and Dale Maggard, please. Go Go ahead, Dee Dee. Good morning.
Good morning. I really do appreciate, I know you're hearing a lot of bad talk, and I appreciate you guys coming to hear it. I gave my speech my statement yesterday, and I'm here on another behalf of another individual. Her name is Mary Ann Moyer. She lives in our community up in Stevens County. I'm just going to read it as it is. This is an account of a cougar attack at 2381 A Sand Canyon Road. On the morning of August 19, 2018, we found four ewes slaughtered in their pen. We called the Fish and Wildlife to report the incident. Keith and a helper happened to be in the area and arrived within an hour. They stated it was indeed a cougar kill. We had one ram left. Keith said they could use dogs, but we would have to get the permission of all of our neighbors. I'm here to say, I'm pretty sure all of our neighbors would have said, get dogs. The fact your officer, this is me, not her saying, I'm just interjecting this. The fact your officer say that, I'm just reading it, but that just burns me. We were told Keith and his helper helped load up the carcasses. We were told to lock up our ram. Unfortunately, our ram was so traumatized that he could not be caught and would not go to his stall. He would not even come near for food all day. The next morning, we saw the ram left by the far fence. That brings a total of five sheep gone. In hindsight, I wish we would have had used the dogs. We did get photos of the cougar from our night camera. It showed a tracking collar on a young adult male cougar. Keith came out the next day to set up a live trap with our ram in sight. That night, we got photos of the cougar walking around the live trap, not going in for the carcass. Keith suggested we leave the live trap one more night. We did not get any sightings that night. The cougar was relocated once. This means he wants to establish this area as a hunting grounds. We were wanting to get sheep this spring, but have heard the cougar is still close. We hope this does not happen to anyone else. Since she forgot to mention an incident 2 years ago, I did call it in. It was the summertime, and my daughter was camping out on our backyard. Early one morning, we heard a cry like a baby. It was a fawn taken down by a cougar in a blink of an eye. My daughter has not slept in the backyard again. She has another thing to the Fish and Wildlife meeting. We have lived on Sand Canyon Road for 28 years, and for 17 years, we have goats, sheep, and a donkey. It's only been in the last 2 years that we've had two cougars kills in our backyard. One deer and five sheep. We live 2.8 miles from the Chula City Park and 1.5 miles to the Chula Golf Course. This year we will be the primary caregivers for our grandson, and we are fearful to have him play in our backyard. Thank you for your attention to this important matter, Mary Ann Moyer.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Shirley?
My name is Shirley Gilbertson, and I'm a middle school teacher and administrator at Summit Valley School. It's located 10 miles out in the hills from the town of Addy. I'm also a resident of Chula, Washington. Summit Valley is a rural, low-income farming and logging community. Our school has 80 students, kindergarten through 8th grade. 100% of the students are bused to school on two bus routes. I'm here today to testify about the serious safety impact of the unmanaged predator population, specifically cougars, to the Summit Valley School and to our area of Stevens County. The second week of September 2018, two fourth grade students were stalked by a cougar on their walk to the bus stop on Summit Valley Road. Luckily, a neighbor heading to work saw the cougar following them, and he picked the children up in his car and brought them to school. We notified parents, and for about a month, parents drove students to school or the bus stop and waited for the bus to come. At the end of October 2018, a middle school student was stalked by a cougar on Blue Creek Lock Road. He reported us that he walked backwards for about a block to keep his eyes on the bushes to see how close it was getting. The bus arrived and picked up a very shaken young man before any attack occurred. Again, parents began driving their children to school and to the bus to the bus stops to wait for the bus. We had three more incidents in November 2018 of cougars stalking children heading home from the bus in the afternoon. all of our children are now driven to school and to the bus, and the parents wait. They've adjusted their work time, you know, to get to work to make sure their kids are getting on the bus without an attack. And we don't let them off in the afternoon unless someone's there to pick them up. Our behaviors at school have also changed. We have two people instead of one supervising children on all recesses and during PE classes. One person to watch the children, the other to scan the hillsides for predators. 2 weeks ago, on my way to work, a wolf ran in front of my truck on Blue Creek Road, approximately 2 miles from school, and coincidentally at the driveway of one of our bus stops. I called the game department to report it. The next day, I received a follow-up call from game agent Kirsch. He said my report was very descriptive. He didn't need any further information. At that time, I also expressed my concern about the cougar population and sightings in our area. I told him our parents are driving children to school and the bus stops. He informed me that with the growing encroachment of humans in our area, sighting of predators would inevitably be more common. I asked if he'd ever been to Summit Valley. First of all, no growth is happening there. And second of all, it's an unacceptable answer for a game official to give a school authority expressing a public safety concern. On our play field during the last 12 years, I would count between 40 and 60 deer nearly every evening leaving school, sometimes more. The most I've seen on the field in the past 2 years is 15. So it's reasonable to believe that if the food for the predators is disappearing, the predators will and are finding other sources for dinner, such as pets, livestock, and eventually our beloved children. I implore you, as the overseers of the game department, to first rein in your arrogant, unresponsive game department, reduce the number of cougars for the safety of citizens and children, and finally save our deer populations, because in Summit Valley, hunting for many families is for sustenance, not just sport. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Appreciate it. Dale?
Well, thank you again for having me, Director. Off the page here.
Before 1996, I'll bet you if you ask everybody in the room here how many cougars they'd seen just driving around, you might have about five hands go up, and maybe they'd seen one. Now you're hearing people seeing six, you know. Anyway, you've heard from the boots on the ground. I quote from page 4, paragraph 2 of the Game Management Plan Executive Summary. The department shall conserve the wildlife resources in a manner that does not impair the resource. The commission may authorize the taking of wildlife only at times or places or in manners or quantities as in the judgment of the commission does not impair the supply of these resources. From page 4, paragraph 4. When biological information is lacking or insufficient, management decisions should be sufficiently conservative to ensure protection of wildlife resources. At no time should decisions favor income to the agency or recreational opportunity to the detriment of conservation of wildlife populations. I'm going to say if we're waiting to make a decision on predator control until the effect on our ungulates until the predator-prey study is complete, then I would suggest that we must be lacking in biological information. Today, we're lacking if we're waiting for that. With that said, the commission must decide how to ensure the protection of wildlife resources. 2015, the department, with the commission's approval, rescinded the four-point antler restriction from GMUs 117 and 121. Ignoring the argument that removing the restriction was done a year earlier than it was supposed to be, I cannot ignore the fact, contrary to what the department claimed, that the restriction was a huge success. You've heard this before. In 2014, there were 329 more four-point bucks or better harvested in GMUs 117 and 121 than taken in 2013, the year prior. The success rate in 121 was 36.5%, the highest in the district. GMU 117 came in with the third highest at 26%. Meanwhile, the rest of District 1 managed status quo, take any a buck, saw a decrease from the year before. Lost ground where the game department was managing it. Tell me and all the naysayers at the initiation of the restriction who changed their mind in 2014 that the restriction was not working. Got a thing here from the Washington Forum, Hunting Forum, DFWs. Nine comments in here mentioned the four-point rule. Eight of them are for it. One guy said he hated it originally, but it said in hindsight it sounds like it actually worked. I put forth that the decision to remove the restriction by the department was made for two reasons. One, the department never wanted the restriction, and Northeast Washington hunting with a late season, and no point restriction sold hunting licenses and tags. See paragraph four above. Two, in early 2015, at a meeting in Spokane in which the department was putting forth their proposals for the upcoming season, I asked the director of Region 1 why they were removing it. He told me, what do I tell all these hunters that call and want to know where to go hunting in Northeast Washington when the point restriction limits the opportunity, see paragraph 4, to harvest an animal?
Dale, you
have our recommendations.
Okay. Thank you all for your comments. Next three, Jet Allen, John Maggart, and Gary Larkford. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Thanks for having us. It's pretty obvious we have a wolf problem in Northeast Washington. I don't know how long we're going to wait. The mule deer are gone. The moose are gone. The white tail are gone. The elk are going. Most of us are born and raised in Northeast Washington. We make our living there. Our families are raised there. I got three children. Hunting is... it's a way of life. It's not, we don't go out and hunt for, you know, trophies. We're subsistence hunters. This is what we do for a living. You know, it's how we survive. So we want to protect what's there. And we need your guys' help. You know, you guys shackle our hands to a point where we can't manage our predators. So we're all these people here asking for your help. We need your help. You know, you've brought the wolves in. Now we got to do something about it. If everybody out here went out wolf hunting, you opened it wide open as you could today, right as soon as we leave here, there ain't one of these people that's going to go home and shoot a wolf. There ain't one that's going to go home and shoot a cougar. Idaho has a group, and they've done the studies. It costs between $3,000 and $5,000 for an individual to go out and shoot a wolf. We're not going to go home and go shoot wolves. You got to buy a snowmobile. You got to learn to trap. You got to do this. You got to do that. We could go open it wide, and the wolves are here to stay. Look at the coyotes. It's no different. They're not going away. We've accepted that. But what we can't accept is that we have no support from our Game Commission, from our Washington State legislation to manage the predators. We need help. You know, we're not going to go out there and wipe them out. We can't do it. They're here to stay. There's too much brush. There's too much mountainous areas. There's locked off roads. You know, they're not going away. They're here to stay, and we've accepted that, but we need help to manage them. And we want to have something for our children, our children's children, for your guys' children. You know, if you guys want to come to Northeast Washington and see animals, whether you're fishing, you're bird watching, you're hunting, or if you're not a hunter, if you want to get on a bike or hike a trail and go see a wolf or go see an elk or go see a moose, right now all you can see is predators. You can't go see a moose. You can't go see a deer. The mule deer are gone. You know, they're gone. And as little as 5 years ago, it was tremendous. It was great hunting in the Northeast. And it's gone. So we need your help.
Thank you much. John, grab the mic, please.
Yes, sir. That helps, huh?
Okay. Well, I talked yesterday some about the four-point, but I want to I want to just throw a couple things out there that you guys I think are very important. There's some things about managing wildlife that we really don't have any control over. You guys don't. Timber practices is one of them. Climate's another one. Habitat's another one, and which kind of goes along with the timber management. But there are some things that we can do in a short term, in a very short amount of time. And you guys, the department does that by adjusting the antlerless harvest, and that's their number one tool for, you know, gaining or lowering your deer herd. But the other thing that you can do, and I know that there in the beginning there was some opposition to the four-point rule. There's a lot of people that converted over that found out that four-point rule, and a couple of them mentioned it here today, they found out that it was a good rule, and it was helping the deer population. Helped the age structure of the deer. That helps them survive winters. It helped the fawn crop. The does are getting bred on time and everything else. But one thing I want to be specific about, when we asked for a four-point rule, and you guys have this handout that we've been putting around, and you also have this book right here, it's in there. When we asked for the four-point rule, and we asked for this in the very beginning, but we were fought by Region 1 and also the Spokane area, we asked that youth be exempt from that during the general season. In other words, youth could shoot any buck in the general season. We want to make that very clear. We want to keep the opportunity out there for the kids and keep them interested. It's just, we've talked about this all the time, and this is what we wanted. We figure that would be, you know, providing the opportunity, keeping the kids interested, and we're also getting something accomplished. And I said before, this four-point is something you can do fast. You don't have to wait for a three-year package. You don't have to wait for the blessing of anybody. We know we got a problem, so let's try to do something about it. And that's one of the easy things to do. You don't have to go fight some timber company for their permission or their blessing to go out here and throw some clover on the ground or anything like that. I mean, it's totally different. You guys are in control of that. Some of the recommendations we made were of course, four-point restriction on mule deer, because the mule deer herd, like Jethro said here, the mule deer are gone up there. They're just gone. And bears, we need to open that spring bear season to anybody. Anybody with a bear tag. No draw. And I know it's too late for it this year because it ended on the 28th, the application period. But for God's sake, look at it next year. And anything we can do to encourage taking some of these carnivores out. Deer and elk don't have teeth. They can't fight back. I mean, the carnivores have just taken the whole situation over. And everything he said about wolves, I live in, just over the mountain from where he does, and I live on the, I live up by Valley, which is, I'm actually in 121. But those wolves have just decimated everything. And pretty soon they're going to be eating cougars, which might not be a bad deal.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the comments. Gary?
I was under the common sense assumption that a Fish and Wildlife Commission would have the best interest of the people paying their bills. This, however, is clearly not the case with WDFW. I feel we have collectively had enough time in the past 50 years to have sound management based on science for a balanced ecosystem. This would increase public safety and meet the needs of people who hunt and fish. Predator pit. That's where we're at in this state. Sound management doesn't lead to increased cougar incidents, overpopulation of wolves, too many bears with limited hunting. There are many questions and concerns with our predator problem. I feel how everything has its place and nothing should be wiped out, and I imagine most sportsmen would agree. When populations of predators live with little fear and are allowed to multiply beyond carrying capacity, there becomes a problem. It's not hard to explain. They have become a public safety hazard, number one. And number two, the decline in our ungulate populations is astonishing. You should be ashamed for allowing this to happen. We live in a beautiful, diverse landscape full of opportunity, but we are quickly losing grasp on a big part of what makes Northeast Washington such an amazing place. Your policy and procedures, or lack thereof, are much to blame for this. People shouldn't have to live in the fear to the extent we are seeing. There should be a zero tolerance policy for any predator that has threatened or attacked a person, pet, or livestock. I also feel there should be increased public knowledge and information of the location of predators in populated rural areas. People should have a right to the information gathered by those callers. How do you plan to attack the predator pit? Is your goal to manage for increased opportunity and quality? Do our interests matter? How do you expect people to pay more for less? These are some of the questions you should think about, because more and more people are going to take their money to Idaho and Montana. Thank you.
Thank you. Very quick, sir.
Yes. One thing I want to say is you people have a very thankless job. But the other thing I want to say is it would be wonderful one time if we could come to one of these commission meetings and pat you guys on the back or pat the department on the back and say, you guys are doing one heck of a good job here. I'd love to do that.
Well, let's plan on that.
Let's do it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Parties at your house.
Next three would be Robert Nelson, Freddie, and that Freddie, and Sean Erickson. Robert.
Game Commission, thanks for holding your public comment period in Eastern Washington. I'm a 50-year resident, born, raised, work, and live in Stevens County. In my years of living in and hunting parts of District 1, I have observed four items of noticeable significance: the rise of the moose population and the recent decline in population, the people's vote to eliminate bait and bear and hound hunting for cougars, recent visibility of wolves, first on the Spokane Indian Reservation and now in my backyard, the steady decline of the whitetail and mule deer populations. I am here speaking with the support from friends who I have hunted with for years that are so discouraged with hunting prospects in units 101, 117, and 121 that they are not willing to join me today. They said it was too late and are not participating in Washington hunts in 2019. These are hunters that in years gone by have been successful at holding out during the season to harvest quality bucks and now can't find a buck to harvest. I do not want to believe it is too late. In reading the supplemental EIS for the 2015-2021 under cougars impacts, I can assume that the department, by placing tracking collars on cougars in this area, are working on gathering enough support information to take action on controlling their populations. The 2018 hunting prospects for Washington in District 1 show an increase from 10 cats in 2009 to 50 cats harvested by 2017. The 2017 cats are harvested with an average age being less than 3 years old. This leaves the reader to believe that either people have figured out how to hunt cougars successfully, or more supported by the young age of the cat, their populations have exploded, and these are juveniles harvested due to collision with people while they were hunting other species. I support having the 4-point antler restriction reinstated for all of District 1. I support strict restrictions to deer harvest. I support over-the-counter permits for spring black bear hunts. I do not support private landowner feeding of wildlife. I agree with all message statements in the pamphlet Cougar Outreach and Education in Washington State, November 2010, Table 2, Items 1 through 10. I support more department resources being applied to Region 1, District 1, to bring back hunting opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Freddie?
We all know who I am, so I would just like to say that this commission has an opportunity to do something for Northeast Washington by restricting the harvest on Naturalis and stating a four-point rule, which you oversee the department. You have that opportunity to say you will mandate it and put it in. Because without it, it may be 15, 20 years or not at all that we ever recover our deer herds. No one, if anyone on this panel hunted in our area, if you want to come to our area and see how bad it is, in the last 2 days I drove 240 miles through some of what used to be the best whitetail country in Washington. And this morning took a back route through what used to be a heavy wintering area. I saw 4 elk, 0 deer, and 1 coyote in 240 miles of driving in the best area in Washington for deer. If this, everything that's been said here by all the people that have come before this commission, it's your responsibility to make something happen for this state. The economy in Colville, Chihuahua, is being choked to death. Our sales have gone down. I will give you an example. I probably shouldn't. In the last 2 months, we've sold 212 guns in our store in the last 2 months, which is about 60% more than normal for this time of year. 65% of the people coming in to buy the guns are buying them to carry them when they're walking their dog, when they're walking around their property. They're not buying AR-15s and handguns and what have you just to have. They're buying them for protection. People are putting a gun by each door, front and back, because they're having such an issue with cougars. And I don't know how hard it is for people to really grasp this that don't live there. But we're living it every day, and it's gotten old. So I implore this commission to mandate the 4-point so that we can build the herd back up. We're losing the herd as fast as it's in the last 3 years, from 15 to 18, our harvest has gone down 50% in deer. It's unbelievable. So any questions? If you guys have any questions whatsoever, you have our phone numbers, you have our email.
You know how to reach. Commissioner Holzmiller has a question or a comment.
Yes, sir.
Said something about helping Northeast. No, what you're asking for is to help the whole state. You guys are at the tip of the sword. You're at the epicenter right now. But the mountain lions are a problem all over, and the wolves are going to just get dispersed throughout the state. So what we're dealing with here is a canary in the dang coal mine. So if we don't do something here pretty quick, this is going to be statewide, not just. And hopefully we can get it done before you guys are totally in the crapper on this deal. We can get your deer herds back and stuff. But no, this is not just unique to Northeast. This is going to be statewide because we've got 4 packs and we're growing quickly. We're catching up with you guys really quickly, way too fast. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you for
sure. Let me just point out one other thing. Idaho is one step across our border, okay? Same geographical area, okay? Idaho in 2009 was harvesting 5,454 whitetail. 11,000 plus in 2016. We harvested 5,200 whitetail in 2009, and in 2016 had raised to 6,200. The only differences between these two areas is they're harvesting wolves, but they still have a lot of them. But their cougar harvest is 90 to 110 cats more a year in the same geographically sized area as Northeast Washington District 1.
Okay, we appreciate that. Sean?
Hi, I live out the Springdale Hunters Highway. Me and my family have hunted
our entire lives. I'm 44 years old. I have hunted since I was 12 years old. I have never seen such a drop in the deer population as I have in the past few years. Went most of my life never seeing a cougar in the wild, and definitely never seeing a wolf. That in the past few years has changed. I've seen our elk and our deer and our moose populations dwindle to the point that me and my family who hunt with me are likely not going to hunt this next year.
What?
So from a business standpoint, I look at this and ask myself, how can the department turn a blind eye to something that supports them? You got so many people that are saying, we're not going to hunt, we're not going to buy tags. That is what supports you and your job and what you do. So for you to not take action raises the question, how is that possible? Why is that possible? Is there another entity that's taking care of that financial part of your guys' world? Anyways, I just want to give testimony that wolves are impacting my life, my family's life, most all the people around me. I got a question. If our animal numbers are dropping, why is the cost of tags coming up? That doesn't make sense. They come up every year without vote or without public opinion. Anything else I have to say has already been said, so I'll just leave it at that.
John, thanks for your comments. Appreciate you coming in. Gentlemen, thank you again. We have four. So I'm going to call the four of you up. We're a little behind schedule. We want to finish up with you folks. Hear your comment. Dale Montague.
Well, I'm here for the fisheries one.
And yeah, that's the next item.
Are we there yet?
No.
Okay. All right, then. Are all these fisheries then?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That was his there.
This one is
there. Yeah. Okay, then I think we have three. We have Jolene Scotton. We have John Hudspeth. And Aaron Scotton.
Accepting comment. I second everything that's already been said. There's no sense rehashing it. Bring back spring bear, or let spring bear happen without a special permit. And back before pre-96, we didn't have these kind of problems because a few of us were houndsmen and we took care of them. So that's an easy thing. And I second the four-point restriction. I'm a rancher up in southern Stevens County. We usually feed them all winter just on our south slope. I don't mean feed them, but they're there. You can see them. They fawn in our hay fields. I think I saw three this summer. So they're gone. Now, to a more immediate situation, it's kind of ironic. I've had your field guy, Tucker, out because I got elk decimating my winter hay reserve for my cattle. And I was told I can't get any ranch owner permits to try to mitigate the problem. He said fencing, well, that means I have to turn, he said there was some strings attached anyways. And so I offered you bring me a pile of hay and I'll feed the sons of guns back in the North 40 and that'll help all the ranchers out. So that's where I'm at with this. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for coming. You first or Jolene first? Jolene.
I normally don't speak out. I leave that all up to Aaron. This is very emotional for me, so I apologize. All these topics that I've heard are a constant basis in my house. I wake up to it and I go to bed to it. I'm tired of hearing it. My grandkids, they come over and they're like, "Where's the wolves?" And I just say, "We're not going to talk about wolves today." And we do other things. It's taken a toll on my marriage. Nobody wants to do anything except for sit here and talk. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of having my grandkids come over and want to talk about wolves, and they're 4, 5, and 3. It's ridiculous. My husband is on the phone all the time during the winter. In my opinion, he is doing the job of the people out in the field. And he doesn't get paid for it. My phone is always ringing. I have to say, "Hey, can I have 5 minutes of the phone so I can call and make baby's appointments?" And the phone is ringing in because of call waiting of people wanting to talk about wolves and cows and more wolves. I just want my life back. I want to be able to go and have a conversation without wolves. I want to go and hunt and teach my grandkids to hunt and fish, and I can't do that. I took my granddaughter, she was 4 at the time, fishing, and I just didn't have a good feeling. So I left and ran into a neighbor. As I was heading out, she came by the house a couple hours later, and within 10 minutes of me packing up my granddaughter, there was a cougar in the exact same spot where I had my granddaughter. That was pretty damn scary. And I haven't gone fishing since. So the lack of compassion by the higher-ups is really frustrating to us little peons down here. I just don't know what else to do or say. It seems like talking is all we do and no result is getting done, which is frustrating. Thank you.
Thank you, Jolene. You did a good job, and we appreciate you coming.
Thanks.
Aaron, you are our last person on this issue.
Oh. So I'll start off with saying that as of today, there's 50 days until the first cow is designated to go onto public land. I try not to mix public and private, but that seems to become a big topic for a lot of people. So if there's 50 days until we put the first cow out on the state lease, that means that range riders are supposed to be out 15 days prior. So what's that, 35 days? So we have 35 days to get cowboys ready, horses ready, and all of our gear put together and be ready to go. And right now we don't have any answers. None. Zero. As to what this upcoming year is going to look like. When I make the phone calls, and after a week or two of finally banging away, usually I have to reach out to a legislator or someone with enough stroke, I guess, to push down and get a phone call back. The answer is, well, we don't know, but WEG meets April 24th or 25th. And I know you heard that yesterday, but I think it's important to know that that's 4 or 5 days after we'll be turned out onto state lease ground. I guess I've griped a lot over the years, and it doesn't feel like it gets heard. But I do want to take an opportunity today to thank all of you, Director, to thank you for the time that you have come out, and to let you know that I understand you and a lot of people are in a really tight bind. There's been votes and laws that have come out that maybe you don't even agree with, but we can't control what happens with the divide in this state. But what you do have control over, I would ask you to look very closely. If the science isn't in, then listen to all the people you've heard in the last 2 days. This is probably the greatest thing I've seen in about 3 years. Normally it's me and a couple other people that show up and get drowned out with a lot of environmental speak. So I'm very proud of every person that's come here in the last 2 days to speak out and to give their opinion. I don't know what the answer is going to be. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes at all, because you're between a rock and a hard place. But I'll do my best if you guys continue to do yours. But that would mean an increase in return phone calls, information, making a plan prior to April so that we can get things going, so that the deer herds that we do see, and we are there all the time, we live out there, they're going down. If the science needs to wait, that's fine, but make some sort of action that will start the process. We don't expect immediate results. We didn't get here overnight, but by God, we can at least start something, start the ball rolling, so the grandkids that my wife referred to can continue to enjoy that. Our eldest granddaughter used to spend all her time in the woods. She went falling logs with us, cutting firewood, milling them, shaping them. We build a lot of our own structures. We can't let her do a lot of those things anymore. So I won't keep going, because I'll bet you'll see me again in the next month or two. The study yesterday, I will say, I don't know if you guys want it or not, but the two different studies, I'll get your emails and I'll send those to you so you can see that those numbers are accurate for the livestock industry.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And you can send those to Tammy and she can distribute the documents. pardon me, Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a question for the testifiers here, but I just wanted to compliment all the people who have testified and the powerful, you know, testimony with the granddaughter there. So I know a lot of people have driven a long ways, and you might wonder whether or not the policy body of the agency is listening and hearing. But I, speaking at least for one of them, we are. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, I think a lot of the other commissioners said something similar, and our new director said that things aren't falling on deaf ears. And so in terms of looking for something concrete for you to say you saw as action and not just words, so we're going to take all this to heart. At least we're going to have a conference call soon about different options. We've got a March and April process here for decision making. But I just wanted to thank everybody for coming, and please don't think it's been a waste of anybody's time to come up here. When you say specific examples, instead of I hate this or I like this, but when you say I saw 7 cougars on 1 day, you know, and examples of being out in the woods or being at a fishing spot, those kind of concrete examples are the kind of things that we need to hear before we make policy judgments.
Go ahead, Aaron.
So I apologize. I actually forgot about this, and I don't know how I did. I spoke with a sheriff yesterday. Apologies, couldn't make it, but was asked to, if you didn't know, we had a wolf come through downtown Colville. There's video of it. Okay, so you guys are aware of that, and went through the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, I saw it on television. yeah, I didn't see it in person, but
it's the new Walmart.
Okay. I'm sorry, sir. We can't take more questions from the back. I apologize. We're at least 30 minutes behind schedule, and we got folks who got to. I know you don't care necessarily, but we do have folks that have to take an airplane back the other side of the hills, and some of us have to drive. But
I'll make it.
Mr. Holzmiller.
In 2013,
yes.
Go ahead. In 2013, I was asked to sit on the Game Commission. My wife had just passed away, and I thought, shit, I got way too much stuff to do. More I thought about it, I thought, you know, look at the composition of the Game Commission. Here is an opportunity for me to give a voice to a whole bunch of people that don't have a voice. And my conscience got the best of me. So took the position, been odd man out, served as a lot of comic relief for these guys for the last few years with a bunch of cowboy logic. But a couple months ago, I was talking to Dale one night, and he says, what can we do? What can we do? And I said, fill the seats in Spokane. And you guys have done an amazing job of not only filling the seats, but sharing it amazingly well, not just spewing hate, pissed off. You've come, you've made some really, really good points. You guys have given me a megaphone that I could have never asked for. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for showing up. And it isn't falling on deaf ears, guys, but you guys made me give me a lot bigger voice. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? Thank you, folks, for coming in today. It's greatly appreciated, and we've heard you. We need to move on.